Welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And today I'm going to make a presentation. I'm going to be sharing with you something that is of great importance to me personally in my life. It really presents part of the foundation of the work that I'm doing right now in the world. And I wanted to take this opportunity to share it with all of you. And the reason for this is, at least the timing of it, is because coming up in July, I will be offering a free introductory class at the New York Open Center right here in New York City. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to think about attending that free introduction. It precedes a five-week course in Soaring Crane Qigong Moving Meditation. The introduction is on July 12th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. and the five-part series starts right after that, July 19th to August 16th, again 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the New York Open Center. And you can find out more at their website, opencenter.org. So Soaring Crane Qigong is really a foundational Qigong and has enormous qualities and opportunities for healing and transformation and change. But I really wanted to start this conversation going to the beginning so that some of you who may not have yet had an interaction with these kind of practices to share some of the basic foundation. So when we're talking about qi, many people are familiar with traditional Chinese medicine and Tai Chi and the other martial arts. And of course, Qigong can be thought of one of these martial arts, but it is an inner practice. It's designed for cultivating inner strength, and it's designed to cultivate clarity and really a sense of openness and adaptability. All of the qualities you think of in terms of a martial arts practice, which is the, you know, sort of that gentle movement and interaction and being able to flow with weight and with energy and make shift yourself, shift another person in order to have a very graceful interaction. And of course, the martial arts, as they're more widely known, are connected to fighting arts. It's about engaging in boxing in the battlefield. But that only really becomes a necessity in certain exchanges, in certain kinds of interactions in the world. The fundamental science, however, is more about understanding the balance of nature and allowing oneself to shift and move and flow in a way that is conducive to health and strength and sound mind thinking processes and to being able to really govern oneself. So from the perspective of a wider practice, we can think of this as a way to understand and shift and overcome those parts of ourselves that are presenting a problem or presenting a challenge. So that might be a challenge in the way we live from day to day. It could apply to how we think of nutrition and how we eat. it applies to breathing and how we engage and oxygenate our body. It applies to how we move in terms of the structure of our body. So it can apply to the strength of your muscles, the flexibility of your joints, the capacity of your circulation, the circulation of lymph, which is a detoxification, and the circulation of oxygen, which helps to build our body from the cellular level, and the digestion, the intake and digestion of nutrients, whether those nutrients are assimilated, whether or not we can eliminate the waste of all that we intake. And this applies on the physical level in terms of the water that we drink and the food that we choose to eat. But it also applies on the emotional level in terms of what emotions we take in and what we emote, and also the process of assimilating what is healthy and constructive and adds to our quality of life, and eliminating what is not healthy to our quality of life. So that also means digesting experiences, digesting emotions, digesting the environment that we are working and living in. So when we think of a practice such as Qigong, it really is a practice that encompasses all facets of our life and of our experience. So it really is fundamentally a way of approaching, a way of looking at our world and at our body and at all that we encounter throughout our lives. So it is really a much more expansive and fundamental practice beyond what we might think of as a training or a martial art. It really is a way of cultivating one's humanity and cultivating one's capacity so that in many areas of life, we can reach to our best potential and that we can sustain a sense of strength and viability and vitality, and so that we have the tools that we need to work through the various challenges as they come and as they go. And it also provides the tools that allows us to maintain our machine, the body machine, the mind, body, spirit that serves who we are as greater soulful beings. So it really is a very powerful practice. And it's one that has certainly served my cultivation, my personal development, as well as helped me to maintain my health and well-being. And it's provided me the tools to be able to help many people on my path. So it really is something that is primary at this stage of my experience in this beautiful earth plane world. So really, this is what energy is. Energy is vitality. And we speak of it in so many ways nowadays. I can remember 20 years ago when people didn't really grasp that concept of energy. But now we say it all the time, I really like her energy, or, the energy in this room is really tense. So we have a sense of what energy is, that it's actually something that we can, that's tangible. It's subtle, but it's tangible enough for us to be able to really experience it. So that's very powerful, a very powerful way for us to at least begin the conversation, to understand that this nebulous thing that we use to describe perceptual feelings, things that we're picking up on. And we could also take that to the level of who we are on the inside and see, I'm feeling kind of down and out today, or I'm feeling really exhausted today, or I have so much energy, I want to get out there and exercise and do things, or I've got so much energy, I want to express my creativity, and maybe I'll draw a picture, or maybe I'll write something, get in my journal, draw, you know, write a story. And, you know, maybe I'll call some friends and we'll go out and have some fun. So this is really how energy is, makes up a part of our life. It's part of our experience. And when we look at something like Qigong or traditional Chinese medicine, it takes that concept of energy and vitality and has made a science of it and really charted and mapped how energy actually exists and flows through living beings. All living beings have it. And I would argue that everything is a living being. But if you look at the earth, it has ley lines and energy lines within the earth. If you look at our physical bodies, there are energy lines, ley lines within our bodies. And the traditional Chinese medicine practices have charted out those meridians within our body so that we can see how they work and how they flow. And it's really a way of understanding that this energy is paramount to the amount of vitality that we have in our bodies. And the lack of energy, or when energy becomes blocked within our bodies, how that impacts our health, how it impacts our organs and our ability to function as a healthy living organism. So it really does break it down to a deep science. And when you go to a traditional Chinese medicine or TCM practitioner, they're going to look at your system from this deep level. They'll do diagnosis based on pulse and various different pulse diagnosis. They can look at your eyes, look at your tongue, and be able to really give a deeper diagnosis of where there may be blocks in your energy and how your body may be compromised due to these blocks in that inner field of energy. And a traditional Chinese medicine doctor can do this very efficiently and prescribe many different ways for you to heal, you know, either through herbs or breathing or other kinds of practices. Qigong is very much related to this, except that it is designed more as the practice of a layman. It's not meant to be specifically as a part of traditional Chinese medicine, but it's more designed to be something that every person can access. So in ancient China, the way their system worked was that the traditional healer or doctor, Chinese doctor, would be part of a community or a village, and their responsibility was to keep their families healthy, to keep people healthy. So the way the people appreciated that is that they would honor that doctor, and actually the doctor would be paid as long as the people were healthy. And when somebody turned up sick, you know, whatever it might have been, you know, some kind of infection or, you know, whatever it might have been in those ancient times, the doctor at that point would not be paid. And so it was a system that encouraged the propagation of health and wellness, and the healers were supported and sustained as part of that tradition of maintaining health and wellness. So that being the case, very often physicians would design practices for their laity, for the regular farmers and workers in the cities or soldiers or whomever it was that they were in charge of. they wanted to make sure that people had an opportunity to stay healthy. And so Qigong was initially introduced into the population for that purpose. And it was really called the healthy living method. The healthy living method. You know, that's the translation. Of course, it would have been originally described in the Chinese language. But these forms were created for people to do, farmers, workers, laborers, officials, office, people who worked in the kingdoms, because they were all kingdoms at that time. And so they were designed so that people can have these basic practices and they could do it every day. And it would help to sustain and maintain their health, as it also worked to facilitate the process of digestion, elimination. And so it was a well-rounded way for people to be able to ensure that they had a robust, healthy population. It's an entirely different concept of the healthcare systems that we see in the West today, and probably even in the East, because it's also much tied in to these multinational corporations and organizations with regard to health, when health has been reduced to a profit-making structure and really doesn't have as its focus actually keeping people healthy, but rather profits from people's illness and lack of health. So the practice of Qigong, in essence, is a way for us to maintain our stability, both physically, emotionally, psychologically, and with regard to the spirit. It really does keep things in balance because it doesn't allow for toxic substances, and energy is considered a substance, to take hold in the body and create the kind of problems that over many months and many years can become chronic disease or life-challenging illness. So it really is a good way to maintain health and to just maintain stability and vitality. It also serves to help people in the process of healing. So if you are in a process in which you have issues with hypertension, blood pressure, if you have issues with headaches or other kinds of pains in your body, joint pain, if you have issues with lungs and breathing or allergies, if you have issues with some of the organs that process nutrients to your body or process other hormones to your body, all of these processes are impacted by the what we take in that might be toxic, might be negative. And the Qigong practice helps us to routinely clear and move that energy and those toxins out of our system. So it's a very, very powerful practice. And some people have asked me, how does this relate to things such as yoga, primarily from India? And I would say it doesn't really. It's a comparable practice. One is not better than the other. It depends on how you resonate and what you want to incorporate into your life. I would say, however, that yoga, as it has been introduced into the West, into America, it's overwhelmingly physical in its relationship. So it gives a lot of attention to the movements and the postures of the body. It gives attention as well to the breath, and the energy, the prana. But I find that it has been understood primarily from the perspective of, you know, hold these postures, do these breaths, and allow it to do its work. And I think that's a wonderful way to approach it. Qigong has those qualities, but I find that there's less of a division of the various elements. So when you're engaged in a practice of Qigong, there is a synchronicity and a harmony in the flow of the practice of breathing and moving and using your awareness to actually travel through the inner body and have an impact on what's going on the inside. And so it constitutes a little bit more of an integration in how it has been introduced to the West. So from my perspective, it was more attractive to me because I really do enjoy the movements and the flow of those movements. And I find that just in doing these movements and synchronizing the breath, that it has an almost immediate impact on what's happening inside of my body, what's happening inside of my mind. And I find that it is very efficient and very powerful in how it can have a fundamental transformative effect on what's going on within my system, within my body. So you could even try this out a little bit if you want to, you know, just take a little bit of a notice of your breath, take a few deep breaths and feeling the breath blowing into your body. But as you're breathing, also allow your body to expand the abdomen, expand the lower back, breathe into the upper back, and just really feel the breath moving into your body and allowing the breath to expand the tissues. And as you're doing that, you can add your musculature into that movement. So let's say you want to breathe into your lungs to expand your lungs. So taking a deep inhaled breath, and at the same time, bring your shoulders back and your chest forward. And then as you exhale, you can bring your shoulders forward and expand the back out, bow the back a little bit. And then you can get into a rhythm with that movement. You know, so it's inhale, opening up the chest, spreading out the shoulders. Exhale, moving in the shoulders, opening up the back. And you'll find that as you're gently moving with your breath will deepen, will move into areas of your body where you may not be accessing the breath. If you're breathing shallow, it helps you open that up. If your lungs are tight, it helps to open that up. If the muscular parts of your body, sometimes the upper chest and around the shoulders and back get tight, and it serves to really constrict your breath and your movements, but it also constricts your emotions. So as you breathe and as you move gracefully back and forth, not only are you bringing oxygen into your body, and that oxygen is reaching deeper into the circulatory system to reach into the cells, into the muscles themselves, so then the muscles begin to feel a relief. And when the muscles begin to relax, the intensity of emotion and anxiety also begin to release and can lift out of those muscles. So that in a few moments of a very basic movement pattern, harmonized with the breath, you're able to reach into all of these systems of your body and to fundamentally have almost an immediate relief or release of a particular issue, particular problem. And so there are also movements like this which you could engage in. For instance, if you were having issues with your liver, there are certain movements and certain sounds that will release and allow the liver to let go of toxins, take in new circulation and oxygen. And this is true of every organ. And we do the same thing with our joints. And the other aspect of the Qigong practice is that it really gets you to integrate and move through the whole system. So there are a lot of routines that have you using your hands to actually interact with your own energy field and interact with the energy as it flows through your meridians, as it flows through your organs, so that you can sort of unblock the flow just by the simple activity of the movements, the breath, and the intention. So it's a little bit like having a flowing river where, you know, some trees and rocks have, you know, created this dam in the river, and the water is not going through, and it's sprouting out to other sides. And so this is happening in our body when we have these energetic blocks or physiological blocks. And we can have an impact on that by sweeping the energy through our body so that we can every day do a little bit of house cleaning, moving the energy through, blocking out the, you know, just gently moving away the block. So it's as if you were taking a little at a time and moving it along the channel and allowing it to flow in a more natural way. And the same is true with your, you say, your digestion or your elimination. So you can use your own hands, your own awareness, your own breath to take that energy in and sort of move it through, flush it out. And what happens when you work on the energetic level being more subtle, reaches into the physiological level of our being. And so it begins to allow the muscles and the cellular structures to work more efficiently so that you can maintain that health. And for those people who are really in robust health, it helps to balance things out, because when we're doing that intense training, that sometimes we do it to the detriment of our inner body. And you can see this happen when you see, and it happens often enough, sadly, where you see a great athlete running a marathon or competing in a, you know, high-profile game will just drop of a heart attack or a stroke or something. And it's because they're paying attention to the outer strength but not really paying attention to the inner strength. And what this Qigong practice does is it allows us to really keep balance, the inner strength with the outer strength. And for those people, say, who are training boxing, running, whatever kind, archery, whatever it is, you know, it creates an imbalance sometimes in certain muscle systems. And you want to be able to heal on a regular basis the joints, maybe of the knees or whatever particular muscular system is being overly trained. You want to be able to equally relax those muscles and de-stress those muscles so that they can maintain that flexibility and strength without getting into kind of a brittleness in the strength that they hold. So it's a really quite a powerful practice, and I do encourage everyone to take a look into it to see how it can have an impact on your own life, certainly. And so this is just one way of getting started with understanding what Qigong is. So we're going to go a little bit more into what Soaring Crane Qigong is in just a moment. And so I, for those of you who are in a position to do this with me, even if you're sitting at your desk, it's something that you can do. And Soaring Crane Qigong is generally done with the eyes open. And so I'm going to walk you through a short exercise so that you could have a sense of what it is that you're doing. And the exercise that I'm going to share with you is sort of a central part of the Soaring Crane Qigong system, But first, I wanted to remind those of you who would like to connect with this particular practice, Soaring Crane Qigong. You can go to the website, opencenter.org/soaring-crane-qigong. You could also go to the website at prn.fm and look at the archive page for Heart of Mind Radio. And I put a link there, and it will take you to right to the Open Center catalog, and you can take a look at the class. The free intro class is Thursday, July 12th from 6 to 7:30 p.m., and it is Soaring Crane Qigong Moving Meditation. Soaring Crane Qigong is a classic Qigong practice based on the principles of traditional Chinese medicine, Taoist philosophy, and communion with the natural world. Through the right interplay of breath, meditation, visualization, and gentle, graceful movement, it permits practitioners to accumulate vital force, or qi, and circulate that energy in a healing flow through the body's meridians, as well as to exercise and stretch the body, strengthen the immune system, and calm the mind. Soaring Crane practice can lead to a marked improvement in physical health, lower blood pressure, increased flexibility, improved balance, sounder sleep, less pain, fewer headaches, increased energy, and reduction of physical and mental stress. And this class is actually a requirement towards certification as a Soaring Crane Level 1 practitioner. And Soaring Crane has the benefit of being a very traditional form of Qigong. It's a bit formal in its practice. And it also has a lineage, a very powerful lineage, and really important stages. So the Soaring Crane Level Qigong, Level 1 Qigong, is the prerequisite for Level 2, which is more about really empowering yourself with the, you know, the mantras and the movement and the surrender to the qi. There's also a form of crane walking steps, in which is a walking qigong, in which you are, your lower body is moving very gently and walking. The upper body is more embodying the movement of a crane. So you really get into feeling that energy soar and that flow of flight as you're doing the practice. And another level of this Soaring Crane practice is to become a certified teacher of Qigong, so that you can also become a teacher of Qigong. It also helps, there's a part of it in which you can learn to do actual Qigong healing techniques, which means that you move, use the qi to help people heal, to unblock, use your hands in the direction of qi to unblock, to remove stuck qi, and to be able to work as a Qigong healer with people. So it's a very, very magnificent body of work in which you can go from the beginning stage to a very advanced practitioner, healer, teacher of Qigong. And this particular course, the Level 1 practitioner, Soaring Crane Qigong, what we're offering at the Open Center coming next month, is the first step of that process. So it is, there is a commitment to taking that path should you want to take that path. But for those people who are looking for an opportunity to just heal their own body and to cultivate their own life, the quality of their own life, this is a very, very powerful practice. And I have found that it has been certainly transformative in my own life experience and expression. So I invite those of you who want to do that to check out the Open Center. And by all means, come to the free introduction. You're able to ask your questions and, you know, see and experience what the form is like. And then you could decide at that point if you want to follow that path and take the 5-week course in Soaring Crane Qigong Moving Meditation. So you can do that at opencenter.org. And you can also find a link on the Progressive Radio Network Heart of Mind Radio archive page for today's show. So now let's take a moment to do a bit of meditation. And this is really a meditation that I would share. It's fundamental to the form itself. So we do this kind of practice at the beginning of each of the movements. And the movements have a variety of ways of interacting with the earth, with the heavens or cosmos, with the directions, the four directions. So you're it's like a dance of your movement and your intention and sending your chi into the natural world and drawing it back into your body, and then take it into your body and bathing it into your organs, and then moving out again, maybe into the earth, and then bringing that back. So it's very graceful and very beautiful and very interactive. And it really works with the fundamental teachings of understanding Taoism and traditional Chinese medicine, in that even the directions correlate to the energies and the organs of the body. So for instance, if you are doing your practice and working towards the east is considered to be a wood element, and wood is correlating to the function of your liver. So when you're working with wood, you can cleanse your liver, you can heal your liver, you can restore the liver. When you're facing the direction of the south, that's considered to be a fire element, and that is the element that is restorative to the heart. And so the whole system of the heart, you would want to work most probably with the direction of the south and the element of fire. And when we go to the west, the element is metal. And metal is the element that is correlating to the lungs. So if you need to heal the lungs, to open the lungs, restore the lungs, then you would be working with the energy of the west and the element of metal. And for the kidneys, it's the north and the element of water. So, which makes sense for water to be the element of the kidneys. So when we're working with the Qigong, we are moving, stepping into directions and pulling the energy back, or extending our arms into a direction, pulling the energy back, or even bringing the awareness into a direction and pulling the energy back and circulating it through those organs to be able to heal and uplift and restore those organs. But fundamental to the practice itself is to move the chi internally, and that's really where we have that fundamental aspect of the practice. So in Chinese medicine, in the Qigong system, we have three primary fields of energy within the body, and you might think of these as correlating to the chakras, but they're more focused on what's happening, the portals within the body that connect to the lower field, the middle field, and the upper field. And this field is called a Dan Tien, and it means basically elixir field. And the lower Dan Tien is below the navel, about 2 inches, and in the center of your body. And it's the grounding energy, and it represents the vitality and life force energy. And the energy comes to you in part from your parents, in part from the natural world, in part from the spirit. And so you have all of these energies coming in to form the vitality of your essence within the lower Den Tien. So, and that energy contains your absolute essence. And if you notice, if you've ever been in a room with someone who was in the process of expiring, you will notice that the breath and the energy lifts up through the body and exits through the top in a natural and coherent transformation or transition process. So that means that your vitality is actually in the lower Den Tien. Your the essence of that truth of who you are in all worlds, not just in this world, but before you arrived here and when moving on, it's the same vitality, and that's what's represented in the lower Den Tien. And what happens very often as that energy gets depleted of vitality is what will cause you to age and grow. And the lower Den Tien essentially is that part of us that allows us to maintain our vitality. And so that being an important part of our being able to go forward and exist in the world. So it's really important to maintain the health of the lower Den Tien. The middle Den Tien is in the field of the heart, and it will, it's really what expresses the fullness of who we are, and actually the energy of the lower rises to the heart, the energy of the upper moves down into the heart, and the heart field is where we are integrated as a whole human being. And the upper Den Tien is that which encompasses our knowing processes and our thinking processes, and that is. And so then we have the upper Den Tien, which is our mind, and which is that which allows us to have full responsibility and full understanding of and really interpretation, integration of the world around us, the world within us. And as that interpretation goes down into the heart field, then that becomes integrated into the greater knowing of who we are, and connecting to the lower energy of the lower Den Tien, which is our actual vitality and life force. So I'm going to move to this discussion, this short meditation, which is going to allow us to get into that interior space. So what we want you to do is to start by breathing and focusing into the lower Den Tien, into your lower abdomen, and just allow yourself to bring your awareness, and you could even think of the lower Den Tien as being like a small sun or a star inside of your lower abdomen, and just breathe into that space and think of this beautiful radiance. And another way of visualizing it, if you look across the water and see a setting sun as it goes down into the water, and the sun is a bright orange or deep yellow as it's going down towards the water, and then you see the orange rippling across the water, that's kind of how that energy in the lower Den Tien is. It's this radiance that is rippling out across this gentle watery energy field that helps to nourish your whole body. And we can visualize as we're looking into our bodies that we're seeing this beautiful radiance at the field of the abdomen, and that energy is just rippling out in all directions. And what we do is, as you continue breathing, just inhaling and breathing in and out in a relaxed manner, we want to begin to move this energy of the lower Den Tien through the field of our bodies. So as you are breathing, I want you to guide the chi to flow from the abdomen down to the bottom of your torso, where we have the huiyan point at the bottom of your torso, and then gradually guide your chi up along the governor vessel. And so that would mean you're guiding towards the tip of your spine. And then lift your chi up through your spine, which correlates to the governor vessel. And, you know, breathe gently, take your time. And it's a little bit like watching water rise up in a tub, but just allow the chi to rise up to your spine and to rise up to your back gently, bathing the lower back. And so what we want to do is continue breathing, allowing the chi to rise from the bottom of your torso, the huiyan point, and lift up to your spine, gently bathing the spine and lower back. And continuing from the lower back into your mid-back. And just feel this radiant energy flowing through the mid-back, all the vertebrae of your mid-back, and flowing into the upper back. Just allowing the chi to gently, you know, it's like having the warm sun bake on the back, but it's flowing through the channels, the vessels rising up the back. And just allow that energy to flow all the way up through your spine, up through the shoulders, and towards the base of your skull. And so just feeling that this energy is flowing. And then what I want you to do as it flows, bring your awareness to the back of your neck where it meets the shoulders. And it's the point called the Da Cui. So as it reaches through the shoulder line, spread that chi out towards each shoulder so that it bathes into the shoulders, bringing that warmth and vitality to your shoulders. And then we turn the chi down, allowing it to flow through the arms so you can feel that warmth opening up the energy to your arms, down past the elbows, and all the way through to the palms of your hands. And then what we want to do is bring the palms of our hands together with them facing up, and you allow the chi as it flows through your arms to rise into your palms and form a ball so that this ball of chi is resting in both palms. And then if you're able, if you're in a situation where you're able, you would want to extend your arms out in front of you. Palms are still up, holding your ball of chi. And as you extend that chi out in front of you, it begins to connect with the healing properties of the earth, the healing properties of the cosmic realm, heavenly realm, and just allowing that power to flow into your chi as you lift both arms above your head. And then you can turn your palms down towards the Bai Hui, which is the crown at the top of the head. Spread open your elbows, open your chest, and just allow the chi to flow down through your body from the Bai Hui, the crown. And we want to guide it down into the central channel. And we simply lower our hands, bathing the chi down through the central channel. And we just want to bring our hands down slowly, and we continue to breathe. And then as we bring our hands down, all the way down, when we reach the level of our navel, it means that all the chi will have reached back to the field of the lower dantian. And so we want to take our hands and first push them a little bit away from the body, palms pushing out. And then we turn our palms in to face the body. And then slowly gather the chi into your lower dantian by bringing the hands close to the lower abdomen. And with your awareness, we're restoring the field of chi, the vitality and life force energy. And we just hold the energy there for a few moments to keep it stored into the lower dantian. So, you know, this is an exercise that we learn to do fundamental to the soaring crane practice, because what we would do is after or in the course of restoring the chi, we also have movements where we're stepping in various directions, reaching in various directions, moving in the flow and grace of a beautiful crane. And so, you know, or stepping like the crane, stepping through the waters with its beautiful grace. And it really is a magnificent personal practice for bringing oneself into balance and grace with oneself, with the environment, and also with our relations, so that we begin to experience life and experience our interactions with people in a more holistic and graceful way. So for those of you who are interested in finding out more about that, you can do exactly that. And my name is Catherine Davis, and I am host of this program, and this program is Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I am a Qigong practitioner and teacher of Qigong I've been doing it more than 20 years, I guess, at this point. I also do healing traditions. I do Qigong healing as well as Reiki healing traditions and the Sandlin technique, which is indigenous Native American Cherokee-derived healing practice, and it's really based on vision quest and moving through the fields of the body rather than moving into the forest or into the wilderness in the outer world. We move into the unknown of our inner world and begin to heal and reveal those things that are undermining our health and wellness. And Qigong practice is one of the traditions that I have found to be of great importance in my own life and my own health, and in really helping me to cultivate this ability to enjoy and to be in this amazing world that we're in, because it is an amazing world. We have so much opportunity here. We have so much potential. The natural world is a well-balanced and beautiful, supportive place. The world provides, the earth provides all the nourishment that we need. The air, the water, the fruits, the plants, the herbs, there's so much here that lets us know that this creation is one of nurturing and support. The problem arises in the lack of evolution, I would say, or the de-evolution of mentality on how people have come to regard each other as strangers and enemies, instead of understanding that we're all related and we can live in harmony. The first step of becoming harmonious in our world is to become harmonious with ourselves and to create our own life in such a way that it supports and sustains our health, well-being, and harmony. So I want to thank you very much for being here with us today over Heart of Mind Radio and the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And I invite you to join me every Saturday at 6 p.m. And for those of you who want to connect with the work that I am doing, I have the course at the New York Open Center. I actually teach every Saturday at a studio in Brooklyn. And there's a lot going on that you may want to engage. So please do drop me an email if you want more information. And my email is heartofmindradio@gmail.com. heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And you can go to opencenter.org in order to find out more about the Soaring Crane Qigong course. So it's opencenter.org/soaring-crane-qigong. And I thank you for joining me here today and invite you to tune in again next Saturday and be in touch. Go to the website, prn.fm. Go to my archive page, Heart of Mind Radio, and you'll find many ways to connect, including blog, phone number, websites, and all that. So take that initiative if you want to follow that course of action. And I thank you for joining me today. I consider it a great blessing and to be able to communicate with you in this way. And I appreciate your presence. So not just on this radio program, but in the world. We need each other to make it better. Thank you for now, and bye for now. I have been Catherine, and this Heart of Mind Radio.